Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Chof Beit, and we are holding at the bottom of Kuf Chof Aleph Omed Aleph. And since we had mentioned some Maimorim of Rebbe Abba Bar Kana Omer Rebbe Chanina, we're going to add today another Maimor over here of Omer, right one line up from the bottom, Omer Rebbe Abba Bar Kana Omer Rebbe Chanina, Pamototcho Beit Rabbi, Mutar L'Taltalan B'Shabbat. Now remember, we had this whole big question before, earlier in the Masechet. What is the din about carrying these large candelabra? And initially, the Gemara wanted to say earlier that there was an inyan of koveilo makom, which in the end we were docha, and surprisingly, Rashi brings this as the issue over here, and Tosfos disagrees. And anyway, a lot of discussion among the Achronim, why would Rashi go according to the Gemara's earlier havamina? But in any event, the question over here is, there were two issues. One issue was if they look like they're the kind of menorot that fit together in little pieces, then if they have chidki, so even if they're not shochuliot, if they're shochuliot, remember there was a problem of the fitting them together, and that would be a question of actually being metakin kli. And if they had chidki, then they were just designed to look as if, remember I brought out, I have pamotot like that to show you what it's like. And if they have chitki, so then if they're large, they would be usur, because they look as if they're really made of chuliyot. That was a separate gezerah. So in any event, it's not clear over here what the issue is, and that it's mutter in Rebbe's household. They had these candelabra. So Rebbe Zera asked him, well, I don't know what that means. I mean, you know, there's all different sizes of pamotot. Are you talking about the small ones or large ones? Binitalin biyado achat? Or binitalim b'shtei yadayim, to which he responded, well, I'm not talking about the real fancy ones that are in Rebbe's house. I'm talking about the kind of things that you have in your family home that I remember seeing. So Rashi learns that means kitanot, because he holds that adam is kaveh amokam for gedolot. Tosis points out that that's really not the case, because the more came out opposite. And therefore, on the contrary, it's saying the ones that I saw in your family, which are actually gedolot. On the Omer Rebbe Abba Bar Kahana Omer Rebbe Chanina, Kronot Shel Beit Rabbi, Mutar L'Taltalan B'Shabbat. We have over here these wagons or stagecoaches, and you're allowed to move them on Shabbos. Omer Le Rebbe Zera, are we talking about B'nei Talim B'Adam Echad, O B'Shnei B'nei Adam? Now, this is fascinating because it certainly seems to tend to the direction of Rashi, because otherwise, what would we really care? I mean, the question is a car muktzah? Or, I mean, can you move the car? Well, go into the car. You're allowed to open the trunk of the car if there's not a problem of miscavenging for the light and so on and so forth. So that's why it could be that Rashi talks about the problem of the binkovei makom. And amalekotan shabet avicha. Again, so I'm talking about small ones. V'yom Rebbe Abba Bar Kahana, hitir lehem Rebbe Chanina lebeit Rabbi. Another interesting issue is that Rebbe Chanina was matir people in Beit Rebbe to drink wine that had been transported in a UPS truck. And they only had one chotam on the bottle. So it's not clear whether this was specifically a heter for Beit Rebbe or it would be a heter for everybody. Now, there's really a big machlokas about what the din is, whether you need two chotamot on wine that's going to be exposed to a goy, or if it's really mutter even b'chotam echad. Now, Rebbe Eliezer holds it's even mutter b'chotam echad, and we're only choshed that we need shtei chotamot is where a Jew who is a mummer is the one who's transporting the wine. But if a goy is transporting the wine, we're not as concerned, because they tend to be a little bit nervous about, you know, opening it up or being caught, and the UPS driver doesn't want to lose his job. So there, I'm not sure, says Rebbe Abba Bar Kahana, I'm not sure, lo yadana, imishum desav l'Rebbe Eliezer. Does he hold that in general you do not need two chotamot? Or is it because it was dafka Beit Rebbe and nobody is going to dare get caught in tampering with something that was being brought to Beit Rebbe, because Beit Rebbe, I mean, besides being immensely powerful and important in the Jewish community, the Beit Rebbe was supported by the Roman government. Remember that he was also very close to Antoninus and so on. So maybe because of that, imishum emta de Venecia, it's possible that he was only matrit bedafke le Beit Rebbe. It wasn't a coincidence that it was Beit Rebbe, but maybe normally he would have been makbid to use Shtei Chotamot. And now we are ready for Richie, who is going to show us his porch where he is sitting happily. Certainly he would not be indoors eating cereal or oatmeal at this time in the morning when he wanted to share the island with us. So I'm certain that... I see. All right. Well, make sure you don't put too much honey into the oatmeal. Wonderful. So, I just want you to know that Doc did a very credible job yesterday with the niggin. So, you know, you better make sure that you keep coming on time because, I mean, you know, people get used to replacements and all of a sudden it's a new world out there. All right. So, Nochrishid Likataner, we're moving on now to the question of what the din is, Lagabe Agoy, who does Melocha on Shabbat. And the issue over here is, you'll note that we sort of suddenly found ourselves in the middle of this sugya by the introduction of the Gemara before, which often happens. So the Gemara will bring something that appears to be unrelated to the sugya that we just were talking about. And again, on the simple level of the organization of the Gemara, we were simply bringing additional mamorim of Rav Abba Bar Kahana, and we suddenly got to this thing about the issue of Akum, and now all of a sudden, we're talking about what, in fact, would be the din, where an Akum does something, and the Yisrael wants to use that. Now, there's a number of different issues that are involved here. One issue is that we want to make sure that this goy is not going to be doing things for you and pretending to be doing things for himself. But more importantly, that he would not be doing things a little bit more of the thing so that you would be able to be nene from it on Shabbos. And this brings us into the entire sugya, which, remember, began with the fire department. And this is how we got here. So we were talking about the fire department, and that led us to the question of, can you allow the goy to put out your fire? Now the question is, when the goy, the last thing that we said over there was that the goy is always doing things al dat atzmo, so that even where he's putting out this fire, he's not doing it for you as a shliach, he's doing it because he expects to get profit out of it, money out of it, a tip out of it, whatever. And so because of that, we said you do not have to stop him, and we were left with the question of, can you encourage him? Can you say anybody that puts out the fire, eno mafsid? That was the last thing that we had brought up. Now, suppose you didn't do anything to encourage him. So here we run into the question like this. We know that the Rabbanan asered Amir La'akum, which is, we'll see much more of, and you're not allowed to tell somebody to do a malacha for you. And another thing that the Rabbanan asered was being nehened directly from a malacha that was done specifically for any Yisrael that it would be benefiting. And I say directly, advisedly, we'll see the differences. And many people assume that because a goy comes in and lights, let's say, the light in your dining room, therefore you're allowed to use that light. And that is absolutely not true. You're not allowed to use that light, even if the goy did it without being told to do it. If the kavana was that it was being put on for a Jew, you are not allowed to be nehene, because we're afraid that in the end you're going to actually come. This was part of an overall gezera derabanan, which was amir la'akum, and anything that could bring la'amir la'akum. Fine. So there's a question over here that involves two issues. Is the kavana of the goy to do it for you, or might he have added for you? Now, obviously, there's kinds of things that he can't really add, and that is called, and this is a concept which I think is worthwhile writing down, ner le'echad, ner le'me'a. And that's a metaphor for the idea that any type of thing that is going to work no matter how many people are going to be using it is not the same as something where you might add. Let's say you're cooking, okay, so then you might add food and cook more. You know, you're bringing something from Rosh Hashanah for an animal, so you might add more. But you can't add more light to a user. You can't add more internet by turning on an internet site and so on and so forth. So those are all echad ner lemeah issues. And this is the way that our Mishnah begins. And this is the Nochri lights a lamp for himself. Okay, so then this is a classic, the literal ner le'echad, ner le'me'ah, mishtamesh lo'oro Yisrael. So then a Jew is allowed to use it. But if he lit it for the Yisrael, then the Yisrael is not allowed to use it. No Jew is allowed to use it. Milei mayim lahashkot behemto. Suppose he brings water from a bor in Rishus HaRabim, and that the bor itself is a Rishus HaYochid, so that means he did a malacha on Shabbos. Mashke acharav. Now note, acharav means that after he shows that this is being done for him, and it may even be that the Jew is not present, that this we're going to see is a machlokas coming up. So the Jew can use that water afterwards, but if he did it for the Yisrael, then the Yisrael cannot use it. This is perhaps different, just you should know, that the question is something that you could have done for yourself without the goy. So let's say you can't give it to your animal, but can you drink it? Because the point is, if you had wanted to, you could easily have put your head into the bor, rosho and rubo, and you wouldn't have needed the goy to do it for you. So this is not necessarily implied that you can't take it yourself. And indeed, this is a machlokas rishoni. Okay, now suppose another case. A goy arrives on a ship on Shabbos, and you arrived on that ship. Now, in order to get off of that ship, they needed to build a gangplank. So the guy builds the gangplank, and he walks down the gangplank. Now, it's also true that a gangplank for one is a gangplank for all, basically. So this ought to be the same as the case of the Hadlokas Aner. For some reason, the Mishnah finds it necessary to tell us, Yored Acharav Yisrael. And he, again, it stresses that word Acharav. V'im b'shvil Yisrael asur. And in fact, there was even a maisa where Rabbi Gamliel and the Zekenim were coming in on a ship, and they arrived on Shabbos. Now, the maisa, the Gemara in Erevin, says that the reason that they were allowed to get off of the ship is because Rabbi Gamliel had with him a telescope, which is interesting because there weren't supposed to be telescopes in those days. And he had a telescope which he could actually, by seeing the focus length of the telescope, he could tell you precisely how far away the image was that he was looking at. So because of that, he was able to see that he was already betoch the tchum by the time Shkia came. And therefore, there was no problem of getting off the boat because he wouldn't have been going out of the tchum. So because of that, the only problem was, how do we get off of the boat? So he was together with the Zakanim, and there was a guy that was there, and Asan Nachri Kevesh Leredbo, and Rabbi Gamliel and the Zakanim went down on that same Kevesh. All right, why, in fact, do we need three different cases? They all seem to be essentially the same case. Vitzricha. Because if the Mishnah told us only the case of the candle, I would have said, okay, that's because of the classic idea. A ner for one is a ner for 100. Mashenka, when it comes to bringing water for the behemah, we're over there, we certainly can be choshet dilma ati la'afushe b'shvil Yisrael. This is another concept that is kedai to remember, dilma ati la'afushe. It's a technical term, and it's used in all circumstances where you might suspect that something is being added, additional material is being added. So maybe over there, maybe the Rabbanu goes there, that you have to be more makbid. Okay, fine. I understand those two cases, but the case of the gangplank is exactly the same as the case of the nair, isn't it? Well, that's just because it wants to introduce the idea of the maisa. And remember that always the Mishnah likes to bring us a maisa because ma'aseh rav. So we had over here the story of Rabbi Gamliel. Tana Rabbanu. Nochri sheli ket asabim. A Nochri gathers up grass on Shabbos, and he picks this for his animal. So a Yisrael is allowed to feed his animal after the goy, so that after means again, advisedly after, because you don't know what the guy is doing. Only after he's koveya that, well, I used it, so I definitely was doing it for myself, then you have a right to assume that he did it for you. Now, the fact is, if you know 100% that this guy has no interest in you, let's say he's a is an enemy or he says what he's doing, whatever. You don't have to literally wait till he's finished. So, but the idea over here is it needs to be clear that it's being done for himself. If he does it b'shvil Yisroel, osir. If he was milei mayim lashkot behemto, again, a Yisroel can be mashke acharav, im b'shvil Yisroel, osur. Bamed dvarim amurim. But when is this true? Now, this introduces a brand new idea, which it turns out to be a big machloket. This is only where the goy does not know the Jew. Eino makiro. So then we don't have to be kosher that he's doing it for him, and then or that it was mafish for him. Avo makiro asur. Ask the Gemara, how's that possible? It goes against the Mishnah. What do you mean? First of all, before we even get to this makiro jazz, I don't understand how it could say over here that you're allowed to use grass? How can you use grass to feed your animal if it's mukta? Didn't Ravuna Amri Bechanina say that Ma'amid Adam Behemto Agabi Asabim B'Shabbat? If you have growing grass, so remember we said that you're supposed to be makbid on your behema, not to do malacha. So the Gemara said, does that mean that you have to make sure that your animal doesn't graze? So we said, no, it says, Laman Yanuach Sharcha. What are you going to do? You're going to not allow it to eat? That's not called Yanuach Sharcha. So because of that, we understood that what it means is you can't let your animal do malacha for you. Okay, so then I have no problem taking my animal out, beautiful field outside. I let him go around and eat, bring him directly to where the most delicious food is, and he goes happily chomping the rest of the day. But surprisingly, I am not allowed to bring that animal and put him over a pile of hay that was harvested today, which was muktzah, which is exactly the case over here, because of the fact that I'm afraid that I will pick up that muktzah and feed it directly. Why am I not afraid that if I bring him out to the field that I may pick some grass and feed it directly? Because nobody's going to be mechalal Shabbos and forget about picking grass on Shabbos. Okay, but muktzah, it's not the first thing in your mind that the hay could be. It was muktzah because it was neilat. That already we're worried that people are going to be mekel in their minds. They won't realize it. They won't think about it. And therefore, we assert you're putting the behema on the muktzah because you might pick up the muktzah. So how does it say over here? I understand this has nothing to do with our sugya, says the Gemara, but it still doesn't make any sense because you're saying you're allowed to feed your animal from grass that was picked by this goy on Shabbos, which obviously is muktzah. How are you allowed to do it? Answers the Gemara, doesn't mean you literally put it in front of the muktzah and you're standing there. It means the koim la ba'apa, you stand in front of the animal in such a way that every time he tries to go in the other direction, you're standing there. And that gets the animal ultimately to turn towards the muktzah. And then when he gets to the muktzah, he eats it himself. But you can't stand near that muktzah because then rechoshesh, maybe you will end up picking it up. Now, those of you who don't own an animal will notice that you do exactly the same thing for your robot vacuum cleaner, right? If you want the vacuum cleaner to get to something that has not been in its path, you stand in front of it until it finally realizes, aha, I got to go over there, right? Okay, so we have modern equivalents anyway to all of these things, right? So it's talking about the Koyim Labapa. Now, the question is, you said that you can't, the goy can't know you. What do you mean can't know you? What about the case in the Mishnah? The Makiro is also Rabbi Gamliel. I mean, he was on the boat for the past 2 weeks. How are you talking about? What do you mean the guy didn't know him? Obviously, he knew him. So then how was Rabbi Gamliel allowed to go down on the gangplank? Amar Abaye, well, Rabbi Gamliel was not standing there when the guy did it. And therefore, we don't have a chashash that he was doing it with the Jew in mind. Now, what this would imply is, if you're telling me that even if the guy only knows you, so then he had you in mind. And that would mean that despite the fact that he's doing it for himself, having you in mind when he does it is also part of the gezeira of doing a malacha for you, which is a big kiddush. Because, I mean, if I know that, look, whether he wanted to do something for me or not, he needed to do it anyway for himself, that should not be a problem. So what Abaye is saying is, yes, it would be a problem. And the only reason that it would be mutter is because if you're not around, so then we don't assume that there's any interest in your presence, right? So Abaye is saying a very big chumra over here. You can't even be around when the malacha is being done, even if it's in Ner Liach and Ner Lameah. Rava says, what's the difference? And if it was in front of you? Ner Leachad, Ner Lameah. So I don't care. So what if he's a very nice guy and he wants to light the candle for you also? I don't care. There's no gezeira about doing things also for you, unless he could have added something. There's nothing to add. He needed to turn on the lights for himself. So what's the difference whether he's a nice guy and was happy that you had the light too? Says the Gemara, now hold on a minute. The Braita says to Rabbi Gamliel, said to the Zakanim, when the Zakanim asked him, is it mutter for us to go down the gangplank? He said to them, ho v'shalo befaneno asa'o. No, wait a second. He said, beferish, since he made that gangplank when we weren't standing there, let's go down. Okay, so then that's mashma, then ain't a chinami. That it would have been usher if they had been present, which is like Abaya is saying, that there really is a gezerah derabbanan, a blanket gezerah, therefore we don't run into the problem of gezerah legezerah, obviously, which otherwise this would be. It's like a blanket gezerah not to utilize something, even if it would have had to have been made for the guy himself, because he had a Jew in mind when he did it. Well, I mean, Rava says that's not what the Braita means. Basically, Rav Gamliel says, look, it certainly wasn't made for us. We weren't even standing there. He didn't mean to imply if we were standing there, it would have been us, sir. So what Rav Gamliel was really saying was, for himself, neiredba, toshma. All right. It seems to be that both Abaya and Rava are wrong. Because it says over here that if there's a city that has a population of Jews and Goyim together, and there was this bathhouse, and the bathhouse was being operated over Shabbos by Goyim, for Goyim. And the question is, what would be the din on Mitzoy Shabbos? Because during the day, the water is constantly reheated as you get closer to the end of the day. The only reason, l'chora, you would think that they would reheat the water is because they want to use it for their customers at night, and the customers at night could be Jewish because they'd be coming in after a long, hot Shabbat to be able to get a public bath. So the question is like this. If most of the population, not really the population, but most of the customers that will be coming on Mitzray Shabbos, if they're Goyim, so then there's no din of having any problem at all, because then we say it was done for the Goyim. But if most of them are Yisrael, then you're going to have to wait the normal shear. The normal shear, and this is a general term again, meant to be written down in your notebook. Bichdei sheya'asu. The general term is as long as it would take to achieve the equivalent after Shabbos, starting from zero. So how long would it take to warm up that water? So then if the majority of the users are in fact Yisrael, you're going to have to wait b'chdei she'yasu, which in this case would be however long it would take, she'yechamu chamim. So it says over here that nobody is present, right? And afal pikein, if the Jews are the rov, they're not allowed to be nene. Now, this doesn't make sense according to anybody, because it's not b'fneihem. And heating up a bathhouse, if you're heating it up for 20 customers, you're heating it up for 100 customers. So what's the point? No, there is a point. Because over there, Hatam Ki Mechamame, when they're heating up the water close to Mitzray Shabbos, they have in mind specifically the Rov, because the reason is very simple. Since over here, we're dealing with a economic decision, I have to decide whether it's worth it for me to use the fuel, incur the fuel costs and so on for heating up this bathhouse. And that is going to be a consideration based on my customers. So it doesn't matter to me. I mean, it's not, the issue over here is a business decision. It's not a question of Jewish or non-Jewish. I'm going to make that decision based on the rov in which I see that as my users. Okay, so then obviously, if that is kedai for me, then I heat it up. I mean, then it would mean that maybe for the meal, it wouldn't have been kedai. So over there, it's not the same as having one guy who I know needs to turn on the lights. He's got to read something. He has to turn on the lights. Over there, I have no chashash, has anything to do with anybody else. But over here, it absolutely does make a difference if there are Jews there, because who's going to cover my costs? Now, the same thing is true about, let's say, a wedding hall. So a guy lights a wedding hall up, and he's near Adaluk Mimisiba. So over there also it depends. I mean, we're going to be talking about our customers. So if the Rov Nochrim are there, so then it's mutter for the Jew to be mishtamish laora. If it's Rov Yisrael that are there, so then again, since the person who lights it is running a business, so then even if it's mechza al mechza for that matter, it would also be usher. because, again, there's no way to tell what would be the tipping point in terms of the economic viability of turning on the lights over here in this big hall. So Hatam Nami, therefore, answers the Gemara, when you're making the determination of whether to turn on the electrical costs that you're going to be incurring, it's Adai to the Ruba Madlika. You definitely have in mind specifically, as opposed to over here, where I know for a fact that the guy did it for himself. As a matter of fact, I have a story like this. Shmuel once came to the house of Avi, who was in the town of Toran, and a guy walks in, and he turns on a light. So Shmuel turns his head away in order not to be nana from the light. He didn't want to, like, read or anything with that light. And then he sees that that guy who had lit the light opens up a briefcase, and he takes out his papers. And he starts reading to the light. So given the chazit, the aitish tar v'kakari. So then he said, oh, okay, now I know 100% that that light was needed by him. He needed to read all of these shtarot. Then if that's the case, it's nerli achad ner lamea. And ahadrina iyo la'ape gabe shraga. So he turned back, and he was matir himself to read directly from the light. Okay, which brings us to Sir Richard, Hadran Allah, Kol Kitvei HaKodesh. It's getting close, Richie. They're nipping at your heels.
Rebbe, does Rebbe notice how Avi Altshuler sips regularly throughout this year?
No, but I find the sipping being much more problematic than drinking. The straw keeps coming out of the thing into my eyes. This is not a good age you gave me here.
That's the last straw, but maybe a wider one made out of plastic.
Maybe. He doesn't use a straw. That was your whole etzah, was to use a straw. When I see Avi using a straw, then maybe I'll have a dugma. Okay, Kol HaKelim, here we go. And okay, we start Perek Kol HaKelim, and this is our big jump into issues of Muktzeh, which we did go through very briefly earlier. And then we did like a broad skira of issues of Muktzeh. This Perek we're going to be focusing on specifically the question of a kli shemalachto le'isser, and the machlokas that we mentioned earlier about what is the din of a kli shemalachto le'isser. Now remember that the difference between a kli shemalachto le'isser, kli shemalachto le'heter, is defined by the normal usage of this particular thing. If it's mostly something that, I mean, the way that you use it is you use it for inyonim that are usser, and that's the only reason that it's muktzeh. It's not something that you're koveyam mokum. It's not something that is going to be chisar and kiss. It's not something that doesn't have any use, and all the other issues we were talking about. It's not something that was doing an isser, and therefore would be muktzeh, machmas isser, and things like that. So here, the only thing we have to consider is, can I actually use it for something else, which is not a problem to do on Shabbos, and then that kli now becomes something usable? Or do I say that the very fact that at the beginning of the Shabbos wasn't miyuchet for a tashmish of heter, it remains a kli shemalachto liyetzer, and therefore, a concept that we had earlier, status vis-a-vis muktzeh at the beginning of Shabbat defines the status for the entire day. So this we're going to see is a machloket. Now, there's three possible usages that you might be able to make of a kli that is muktzeh because of kli shemalachto liyetzer. Again, these are all words that you've written down before, so I don't know whether in case you missed them, it's good to write them down again. So we had tzorech gufo. Tzorech gufo is the most heter of all usages, and it means I'm going to be using it for its own purposes. So in other words, it may be an electric screwdriver, right? But I am using it to pry open a can. Fine. So that's the sort of gufo. Then there's a question of, I left my screwdriver on the table, and now I need to put down my food on the table. That's called moving it litzorach mikomo. And then there's the problem of, I left my screwdrivers on the porch, and it looks like it's going to rain, and my screwdriver is going to get ruined. So that is called, the technical term for that is mechama litzel. I'm moving it out of the sun into a protected area. Obviously, it has nothing to do with the sun or anything like that, but that's the idea of protecting for its own needs, protecting it from the water, from being stolen, or whatever it is. So Our Mishnah opens with an interesting statement that gets us involved in the question of what the status is of the door or the covering of a kli, which, of course, we've learned a lot about in Kalim, and actually some of the issues here are brought up in Kalim. Kol ha-kelim nitalim b'shabbat v'daltoteihem imahem, af al pi shenitparku. So you're allowed to move any kelim on Shabbos, even if their doors are not connected. You can move the doors with them. If it would be a door of a house, remember, you couldn't do that, because the door of a house, if it became detached from its hinge, that would not be considered to be min ha-muchan, because it was connected to the ground. Remember, anything attached to the house is considered to be connected to the ground. Ma she'ein kein, and that, of course, leads to another question. Well, why can't I just put it back on, and then I'll have a door? So there we get to the issue of binyan, right? But then if we get to the issue of binyan, because since I'm building it in a house, then what about putting the door back into the hole of the hinge on this, I don't know, box that I had? It says over here, I'm allowed to move the door. Can I put the door back on? By putting the two things side by side like this, the Mishnah is forcing us to contemplate whether yesh binyan bekelim or not, which, of course, the Gemara is going to get into right away. There's also an ambiguity, because it says, kol ha-kelim nitalim b'shabbat, with their doors, afa pishnit parku. Now, it's not clear if that means even though the doors were removed on Shabbat, and that's what the afalpi is, or just the fact that even though these doors are detached and therefore they're no longer part of the kli, you would think, since they're usable with the kli, they're still allowed to be moved. Okay, that we'll see in the Gemara. Now, suppose you want to move a hammer. Normally, a hammer is used for a nail, but you want to use the hammer to crack open nuts. Lefatzea boate agozim. Well, let's say you want to take a hatchet, which again, it seems to be that we're talking about a hammer that's for nails and a hatchet that's for cutting down trees and so on. And you want to take this hatchet and you've got this really hard pressed fig vela and you want to just cut it, well, like that. Or you've got a really tough cheese, hard cheese. So you want to take a saw, again, carpenter's saw, and use it to saw your cheese, or you want to take a shovel, and you're taking the shovel in order to use it as a scooper for your dried figs, or let's say you want to use a rachat, which is one of those winnowing shovels, or maybe a pitchfork, a malgez, or sometimes written maglez. You want to use latet alav lekatan. Maybe there's a kid on the other side of the fence, you know, and he wants a lollipop. So you take a lollipop, you put it on the pitchfork, you put it over the fence and say, here, kid. So, I mean, that's certainly not what a pitchfork is usually used for. Or you want to take, let's say, a kush or a karkar. Now, those are spindles that are used by a weaver. They're professional things. Remember, we've spoken about them many times, to separate the threads of the warp and stuff like that. And you want to use it as something to spear your fruit with or something, you know, it's cute. Or you want to take a needle in order to get a splinter out. Or you want to take a sack maker needle, which is a really big, a knitting needle. You want to use that to pick a lock on a door. Okay? All of those things is fine. You could do that lechatchila, no tell. Now, when you say that you could take anything, kol ha-kelim nitalim, and you said even the doors. Now, the way I understood the Mishnah is, b'shabbat means, kol ha-kelim nitalim b'shabbas v'daltotei mimahem, means even if the delatot were detached on Shabbat, you'd still be allowed to move them. What do you mean, even though? On the contrary, if they were detached on Shabbat, then at the beginning of Shabbat, they were considered to be muchan and not muktzah, because they were part of the kli. The bigger chiddush would be that even if they were detached on Erev Shabbos, that would be a much bigger chiddush. So then they would be not muchanim al gabei avihem. I mean, tell me that. Don't tell me even though it was taken off on Shabbat. Rabbi, you're not reading the Mishnah right. The Mishnah doesn't say even though they were taken off on Shabbat. That part is only going on the opening. Kol ha-kelim nitalim b'Shabbat. And daltoteim imahem, no matter when they were taken off. I don't care if they were taken off on Shabbat or were taken off before Shabbat. It's all the same. There it's afal pi shenit parku b'chol. It would be okay to be nitalim b'Shabbat. Now, the question is, can I put those doors back on? Now, it says in a Braita, and the reason, of course, that this is brought into this is not an agav question, because clearly, as we pointed out in the Mishnah, it immediately comes to mind when you contrast it with the doors of the house, which you're saying are muktzeh, which means that there's nothing I can do with them now. So what is that all about? So it says in the Braita, delet avashira teva v'migdal, you're allowed to remove those doors, but you're not allowed to put the doors back on, which is weird. The Gemara is going to ask, I mean, all of a sudden, Binyan is different than Stira. I mean, Binyan and Stira are the same thing. They're just mirror images. We're going to talk about that. But if you're talking about a chicken coop, which is attached to the ground, then you're not allowed to take them off and you're not allowed to put them back on because over there you're going to be dealing with Binyan. Now, I understand that. Bishlam, the Lushul Tanagola makes sense because he holds that since they're Mechuborim La'ara, Yesh Binyan Bekarka, Yesh Tira Bekarka, so then it means that you're building. But I don't understand the psak about the Shita Teva Migdal, that you're allowed to take them out, but you're not allowed to put the door back in. What is the pshat? I mean, what does the Tana believe? If he holds Yesh Binyan Bekalim, and then there's got to be Yesh Tira Bekalim, and if he holds there's Ein Stira Bekalim, then he should hold Ein Binyan Bekalim, because they're exactly the same. So if he's allowing you to take it out, and he holds it that it's Stira, and it's not a problem, because it's, after all, it's apokorba to the ground, and therefore it's only a kli, so then it should be perfectly okay to put it back in. So what would this possibly mean? Amar Abaya, actually, the Tana does hold Yesh Binyan Bekalim, the Yesh Stira Bekalim, but the Mishnah meant not that the doors were removed, it only means that the doors fell out. That's ridiculous. First of all, I mean, okay? First of all, again, you ignore what it says, okay? Stop giving me these pshatim that warps the words. The words say, the note, it says note lin katani. Does it say im nitlu? And then let's say that it means what you say, okay? Read the next words. What are the next words? Aval lo magzirin. What do you mean, aval lo magzirin? I never told you not lean. According to you, I didn't say not lean. So why you say not lean, aval lo magzirin? If they fell off, but you're not allowed to put it on. What do you mean, but you're not allowed to say? You're not allowed to put it on. That was the lashon of the Braita. So that shot is crazy. Elo amar Rav. Of course, it's the opposite. The Tana holds ein binyan bekelim, it ein stira bekelim. So then what's the problem of putting a door back onto a chest? The problem is that gzeira shema yitka. Sometimes when you put something back on, it's a little bit loose because it fell out because the hole was a little too big or something. So what you do is you bring, let's say, a little, you know, a splinter or whatever, a toothpick. You stick it in there in order to wedge it in strongly so it shouldn't fall out again. But if you do that, you're going to be over a makah bepatish. And there, not because of binyan. And there you, in fact, will be chayev. Okay, the next thing we said is that you're allowed to take a hammer. So Rav Yehuda says, now wait a minute. When is you're allowed to take a hammer, you think that that means you're allowed to take a hammer out of your tool chest that was meant for hammering nails, and you're going to use that hammer to hammer nuts? That's nuts. It's talking about a cornish shell egozim lefatzea et egozim. You can use a nutty hammer to break nuts, but you can't use a nail hammer to break nuts. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean literally it has to be a nutty hammer. It means it was a hammer that you were meyachet for nuts before Shabbos, in which case it's now not considered to be kli shel machzor l'yisur because you were already planning on using it. It could look like a hammer, you know, it doesn't make any difference. But the idea is that at that point it becomes a kli shel egozim. So it happens, but you can't use a regular hammer. Like, what, are you going to take a smithy hammer to crack open nuts? That's like taking a rocket ship and using it to light candles on a birthday cake. You'd have to be out of your mind. So the idea over here is that kosovar, obviously Reb Yehuda holds that a dover shemalachto leyiser afilu tzorach gufo is usher. So he is telling us that even the biggest heter, and the biggest heter is using something for its own use, is also usher. Kol shikain, you would not be allowed to use it for to move it just tzorach mekomo or to use it just b'chamel itself. Omele Rabbah, if that's the way you're understanding the Mishnah, I understand every case in the Mishnah you can explain away, right? You could tell me, it means that you were meyached that thing for that purpose before Shabbos. Okay, I understand. But there's only one question I have. A pitchfork to give a lollipop to a kid on the other side of a fence. Okay, you show me a guy who at the before Shabbos says, ah, look, the pitchfork. Why, that will be great for passing lollipops over the fence. Let me be miyake this pitchfork. I mean, I understand if a guy doesn't like kids, he might be miyake the pitchfork for dealing with the kid, but that's not what we're talking about over here. So It doesn't really make much sense in the Mishnah, does it? So Sefer Diktani at Harachat at Hamargez and Teta Love Likatan. Are you trying to tell me that there's people around Mimiyachad Likatan? They would take that and be Miyachad before Shabbos? Elo Amar Rabba, on the contrary, that's the whole point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is trying to say that Eklisha Malachtoli Isser, 100% Isser. You had absolutely no intention before Shabbos whatsoever to use it for Heter. That's bedafka what the Mishnah is saying you're allowed to do. And it does mean a smithy's hammer. Yes, you could use it lefatzea bo egozim. Because he holds, obviously, Rabba is kasavar, that a dovash malachto li iser is mutter litzorech gufo.